Day 482, Friday, August 2nd. Psalm 85 and 87, Psalms 85 1-13 NKJV to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Lord, you have been favorable to your land, you have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people, you have covered all their sin. Selah, you have taken away all your wrath, you have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Psalms 87 1-7 NKJV. A psalm of the sons of Korah. A song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Selah, both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. Daily Deep Dive. The UCG Reading Plan states, Psalm 85, another psalm of the sons of Korah, is a lamenting plea for national restoration. Its specific setting is unknown. God has here forgiven his people and returned them from captivity, verses 1-3, but the effects of his wrath as the lingering consequences of their sins are still being felt, verses 4-7. This could describe the end of some foreign oppression during the period of the judges. Or it could conceivably apply to the time of King Hezekiah's reforms following the captivity and return of 200,000 Jews at the hands of the northern kingdom of Israel in alliance with Syria during the reign of Hezekiah's father Ahaz. See 2 Chronicles 28. Yet it could also fit with the later return from Babylonian captivity. Any believe that VV 1-3 refer to the return from exile and that the troubles experienced are those alluded to by Nehemiah and Malachi. Verse 12 suggests that a drought has ravaged the land, and may reflect the drought with which the Lord chastened his people in the time of Haggai, see Haggai 1:5-11. Zondervan NIV Study Bible, note on Psalm 85. After pleading for revival, mercy and salvation, verses 6-7, the psalmist states that he will hear what God has to say, trusting that God will speak peace to his people. That is, with peaceful intent or directing them in the way to peace, as long as they don't ignore his words and turn back to the foolishness of their sins. Verse 8. God's salvation, prayed for in verse 7, is available to those who fear him, verse 9, that is, who with the appropriate mind frame of awe and respect will heed and follow whatever God says. In verse 10, the union of God's mercy and truth and his righteousness and peace describes the way things ought to be, or the state of peace spoken of in V 8. The blending of the ideals of truth and righteousness in verse 11 suggests a vision of the kingdom of God, see Isaiah 11, the Nelson Study Bible, note on verses 10-13. As noted above, verse 12 may indicate a period of drought and assurance on one level, that the land will yield physical produce. Yet the picture here is primarily figurative, as verse 11 shows truth as the crop that is produced, thanks to the figurative sunlight and rain of God's righteousness from above. Truth springing out of the earth may also be a messianic reference, compare Isaiah 53:2. Notice the final words of Psalm 85, wherein God's righteous footsteps become the path for us to follow, verse 13. Jesus the Messiah has set the example for us of how to live, that we should follow his steps, 1 Peter 2:21. And this pathway is the highway to Zion in the previous psalm, Psalm 84 5-7, leads to the glorious kingdom of God, so that all of us may be part of the harvest of truth. Psalm 87, another Korahite psalm in the final cluster of Book 3, is a song of Zion, yet a remarkably unusual one in that other nations are included in the ranks of Zion's citizenry. The Expositor's Bible Commentary, in its introductory note on this psalm, says that it's difficult to postulate an original life situation for the psalm. It may well have been associated with any of the three pilgrimage festivals, when Israel, together with proselytes from other nations, joined together in the worship of God at the temple. While there may have been some application for that time, the psalm when composed was clearly forward-looking, prophesying of the future. Thematically, this psalm follows David's remark in the previous psalm about all nations eventually coming to worship the true God, Psalm 86. The holy mountains of Psalm 87:1, where sits the foundation of God's worship system and from where he will ultimately rule all nations, refers either to Israel and Judah or to the hills of Jerusalem. If the former verse narrows the focus to Zion, if the latter verse simply defines the mountains as those of Zion. The Lord loves the gates of Zion, because they form the entrance to the temple through which his people have a relationship with him. The Nelson Study Bible states that the verb loves includes the idea of choice, see Deuteronomy 6:5, as well as emotion. God chose Jerusalem, and he also has an enduring affection for the city, note on verses 2-3. In verse 4, the end of the phrase, I will make mention of Rahab, i.e. Egypt, see Isaiah 37, and Babylon to those who know me, could be translated as those who know me, note on Psalm 87:4, or perhaps, as of those who know me. The NIV renders verse 4 this way, I will record Rahab, Egypt and Babylon among those who acknowledge me, Philistia 2 and Tyre, along with Cush, i.e. Ethiopia, or perhaps all of East and Southern Africa. And will say, this one was born in Zion. This is saying that people born in other nations, even nations that were troublesome to Israel, will be considered as born in Zion once they repent and worship the true God. Verse 6 affirms, the Lord will record, when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. This process begins with the church of God today. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, Hebrews 12:22, spiritual Zion according to the new covenant, the Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all, Galatians 4:26. The New Testament describes the Gentile nations generally as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2:12. Yet those who come into God's church have a drastically changed status to that of being no longer strangers and foreigners but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 19. Through Jesus Christ, they become Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. Then, when Christ returns, these will all be spiritually born of Zion in the resurrection. As Isaiah 66:8 says, shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Afterward, God's holy mountain, his kingdom, will grow from Zion to fill the entire earth, so that all nations will become part of Israel in a spiritual sense. All will be born in Zion. How marvelous is God's plan for all people. It is a cause for singing and rejoicing, Psalm 87:7. The phrase, all my springs are in you, same verse, or all my fountains are in you, NIV, calls to mind the river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, Psalm 46:4, the life-giving river of the New Jerusalem. Revelation 22:15, the fountain of life, Jeremiah 2:13, and the wells of salvation, Isaiah 12:3, from which living water will be drawn with joy. Occurring as it does near the end of Book 3, which contains a number of psalms about Israel's devastation at the hands of enemy nations, previewing the time of the great tribulation ahead. Perhaps this psalm was placed here to remind God's people to not focus on wishing ill on their enemies, but to long for the day when all will be reconciled, dwelling happily together in the family of God. End.